Our text for this morning is Ephesians 6:4. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. We also have Ephesians 6:4 in the New Testament. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but rather nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this good day you've given us, for the season that we have been and will continue to celebrate all year round, your coming, your incarnation, becoming like us, becoming one of us, and going to the cross, paying for our sins, rising for our justification, ascending into heaven, ruling and reigning, even in these days and throughout all the days of history. Our Lord will reign until he put every enemy under his footstool. Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning to grow in grace, to be edified by your word, to be the parts of the body that minister one to another. Open our eyes, we pray, to your goodness and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Previously, over the last year and a half, more or less, we have considered wisdom in the wise, wisdom in wealthy, wisdom in work, and wisdom and self-control. There were applications to children in each one of those, but they were not basically about children. This morning, we will consider wisdom and children. Young people, it is likely that one day you will have your own children. So this message is for you. For those of us who no longer have children in the home, we are still in this covenant together. This message is for us. Parents need our wisdom, and especially our prayers, prayers that flow out of an understanding gained from years of following or failing to follow God's wisdom on parenting. Parents, as you look back on 2019, how did you do with the command to nurture your children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord? Would you be more likely to give yourself an A or perhaps something lower? What you will hear this morning is not new. It's a challenge for all of us to be more deliberate, more faithful, more consistent. For the glory of God, for the spiritual health of our children, and for the salvation of the world. I think that all parents here agree that biblical parenting is required of all Christian families, and that the Bible is efficient to meet all of those needs. Child psychology and counseling fads are not necessary. The biblical family is an instituted government established by God at the very beginning of human history. The head of each family is the husband, the wife is the advisor, and the children are the subjects of that small realm. Each family is designated to be a culture of traditions, language, customs, and countless unspoken assumptions. Good parents preparing their children to leave the home at the proper time in order to establish their own families face two reoccurring problems. Because of our sin and rebellion, we either establish a family in rebellion or we forget that the family is a culture at all, and by default, we allow outside cultural influences to take primacy in how our children are shaped. By nature, children are malleable. They will be shaped lawfully by those commanded by God to perform the task, or they will be shaped unlawfully by outsiders and the many cultural influences that shape our society. To counter these, the father must teach his children the word of God, must teach his family the word of God. He must cleanse his wife with it. He must encourage her with it, and he must oversee the help that she is to him. And both must model what they teach. The father is to teach the children to honor their mom, Both parents are responsible for maintaining a biblical culture through kind, calm, loving, consistent discipline, teaching, and prayer, and by screening all the sinful influences coming from the outside world, whether TV, radio, internet, books, or friends. Even homeschooling must be done with care. Fathers must not be detached, and mothers must be convinced of the importance of this biblical culture, because much of the practical implications will fall into her hands. Establishing a Christian culture in the home is eternally important, because, as Jesus says, it is a fearful thing to stumble a child. Matthew 18:6. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, better it were for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the depths of the sea. In the context, of whom is he speaking? Although Christ is speaking generally, to whom do these words primarily apply? The answer is parents. Under God's providence, when a man and a woman have a child, they have kindled a spark that will never be put out. That child, blessed or cursed, will exist forever. There will be no peaceful oblivion for a poorly raised child. And further, God has made the world in such a way that parents have a tremendous influence over their children, whether for good or for evil. If parents do as the Lord commands, they may comfort themselves and should comfort themselves with the Word of God, the promises of God. But one of the reasons parents fail to comfort themselves with God's promises is that they are reluctant to assume the converse responsibility for failure. But the Bible addresses this as well. Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself is a shame to his mother. Parents within the covenant can fail to fulfill their covenantal duties in regard to their children. Why does God call it a shame? Because such parents have everything to do with the existence of that disobedience. This is the conclusion we hesitate to draw when, consequently, the promised blessing of covenantal succession is missed. Who is sufficient for these things? None of us. This is where the promises of God give us the encouragement to press on through the everyday challenges and trials of training our children in the ways of God. We hear him say, Psalms 103, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his commandment, to those that remember his commandments, to do them. The promise here is clear. It's mercy. But there are three elements to be noted: keeping the covenant, remembering his commandment, and obeying his commandments. We need God's mercy for everything. To keep his covenant means that we believe and trust in the promises of God. The center of keeping God's covenant with regard to child rearing is to understand and believe his word about child rearing. And how do we show that we believe his promises? We do what he says. We remember his word. We obey his commandments. So what does this obedience look like in an evangelical home? First, parents have to be obedient themselves. Colossians 3. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Parents are under the authority of the Word of God, and the children are under the authority of the parents, obeying the Word. No hypocrisy allowed. Children can see you disobey, and the results are disastrous. Parents have to be obedient themselves. Second, parents must intercede for their children. Job 1. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed for them his children. He rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Job did not pray for his children just because he liked them or because he was close to them. He prayed for them because he was responsible. He offered sacrifices for their sin, and he did so continually. Parents have to be obedient. Parents must intercede for their children continually. And third, parents must instruct their children in the standards of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the post of your house and on your gates. Parents are to teach their children the law of God and to do it without ceasing. This is a lifestyle, not an infrequent spasm, nor an exercise for special occasions. Remember, if parents abdicate this responsibility, someone else or something else will fill them. There are many parents who do not discipline their children the way they ought. This is often the result of a false tenderness. The parents hate the thought of the pain that such correction brings. They refrain from discipline because they think they're loving their children. The Bible says differently. Proverbs 13, he that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him often. How often is often? Well, that would mean every time he disobeys. Every time. Does God let us get away with anything as his children? And how much? How hard? According to Proverbs 19, it says, do not spare him for his crying. Crying reveals that he got the message. A swat instead of a rod won't do it. A hand slap will not do what a belt or a switch will do. Crying demonstrates their understanding. How hard, God says, do not spare for his crying. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him often. This does not mean he is filled with emotional revulsion for his son. It means that the lack of discipline has a destructive impact on the future of that son's life. A parental refusal to discipline is therefore an act of hatred. A man who does not spank his son hates his son. And that hate, that disobedience, has consequences. Proverbs 19. Chasten your son while there is hope, and let not your soul spare for his crying. Parents who do not consistently chasten their children at the right time are passing by the moment of opportunity. It says, while there is hope. Refusal to chasten a child at the right time, which would be when they disobey, is the same thing as setting one's heart on his destruction. Parents who do not consistently spank their children according to God's word are attempting to destroy their children. By the grace and mercy of God, sometimes such destructive attempts fail. Parents who intervene through consistent godly discipline are promised by God that such discipline will bear the appropriate fruit of wisdom at the time of harvest. The fruit would be wisdom, not foolishness, because foolishness is wrapped up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 22. God does not say that the rod of discipline will pound a child into seething resentment. He does not say that the rod of discipline will provoke the child to anger. He says that the rod, biblically applied, will remove foolishness from that child. A wise woman once recently observed that the path to winning a child's heart begins at the seat of his pants. If a parent threatens discipline, if you do that again, I'm going to... Then the discipline threatened, whatever it is, must be carried out. Refusal to follow through is a breach of the ninth commandment. If you don't do what you said you were going to do, you have borne false witness against your son or daughter. And by this, they learn how to break the ninth commandment from you. If God's wisdom in these Proverbs offends you in some way, there are three things that you can do, must do. First, if a firm voice offends you, you must repent, asking God's forgiveness for your worldly attitude. These are God's words in Proverbs. These are not the pastor's. Second, you must be more focused on keeping God's way, meditating more deeply and faithfully on how you are to train your children, praying for God to help you. Third, if you have a problem with consistency, you need to seek help from those who demonstrate the consistency that you lack. You need to involve someone to hold you accountable to help you. If you tell a child to do something and not to do something, and then you get distracted, what does God tell you to do when you find out that they have disobeyed? Do you repeat what you said and then walk off to whatever you were distracted by? No, you use the God-given opportunity to train. You enact the rod and reproof which drive foolishness from your child. Every disobedience is an opportunity to train, and your children will give you, as you know, many, many opportunities until they mature into self-governing adults. There are many good and non-sinful things in our lives that can distract parents from doing what God says is the most important thing. Parents, your number one job given to you by God is to train your children, take care of your family. Everything else, though important, is secondary. A refusal to obey in these things is a breaking of the 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th, and 10th commandments. The 5th, you are failing to teach them respect. The 6th, if you don't discipline them biblically, you hate them. The 6th, the 8th, you're stealing their future. The 9th, you're teaching them to live a lie. And the 10th, you're coveting the opposite of what God covets for you and your children. The Word of God is not ambiguous on this. As parents, we are told what to do, and we are told what happens when we do. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Biblical training, of course, includes other things besides spankings. Teaching them God's law, for instance. Children of Christian parents are to be brought up in an environment dominated by the Word of God. If children are watching the tube, the parents are responsible for what is being taught, meaning the parents must carefully monitor what is being taught. This is not an easy job, but it is the job that God has given parents to do. Because Christians hate to see anyone in distress at all, we fall into the trap of a false and lying comfort. Don't blame yourself for your son's disobedience. This could happen to anyone. You were good parents. You just have to hope that your son would eventually turn out. On the contrary, God's word teaches us that trying to be wrongly kind to our children can kill them. The church often embraces the cultural first and great commandment, thou shalt feel good about thyself. The world exalts self-awareness, self-fulfillment, self-confirmation. God says self-denial. When children are disciplined, the way God requires, the result is wisdom. When children are neglected in discipline, the result is shame. The results would have been different had the behavior of the parents been different. Another area where many parents fail is their refusal to insist that their children treat them with the proper respect. Parents hesitate at this point because they think that it is somehow self-exalting. But parents are required to bring up their children in all the laws of God. And one of the most basic is honor your father and your mother. Who is to teach this and instill this in them if the parents don't do it? Failure to do so, not surprisingly, results in shame. Proverbs 19:26. He that mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. A father who fails to demand respect from his children can open the door to them eating corn husk with the pigs, to family degeneration, and to ungrateful children fighting over inheritances. Parents are taught and encouraged to deny how their children have turned out. Parents that are taught that cannot enjoy the experience of forgiveness and the joy that comes from intercession, repentance, and by the grace of God, recovery of the prodigal son. It is better to discipline while there is hope than to hope while discipline languishes. It's better to hope while there is discipline. It's better to discipline while there is hope than to hope without any discipline. Remember these words. You've heard them before. I mentioned them in one other message. Parents who do not penalize sin subsidize sin. The more sin you allow, the more you will have. And sadly, like their children, parents' bad habits are hard to break. All this we've considered this morning can be very overwhelming. How can we handle the truth, God's truth? How can we be more faithful parents? Like everything else in the Christian life, without Jesus, we can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. We walk by faith. The just live by faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working through the Word, working in us to do and to will of His good pleasure. So then, after all of these heavy things, let us hear God's word to us, His promises, and be encouraged. And I will establish my covenant. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land where you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed after you in their generation. Isaiah 65:22-23. My elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Luke 1. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. Acts 2. For the promise is to you and to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. What are the children doing here in Acts 2? God is promising the restoration of all things. The Holy Spirit will efficaciously and sovereignly regenerate countless generations. He is working mightily in the families of this church, and outsiders see it and marvel. With all the assurances of Holy Scripture, we can truly rejoice that our God is a covenant-keeping God. Where do we get the power to train our children well? From our covenant-keeping God. He says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let us pray. Lord, it is true that we all offend in many things. We are beseeching You to help us in our weakness and in our sin. Lord, forbid that we should continue to stumble a child who believes in You. Help us to return Your love by doing the things You command in the way You command them. Help us to be more faithful in training our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Keep us from being distracted from the most important job. As we look for Your promised return, may we, like Jesus, be about the Father's business. We ask these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.